The following audio is from Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Visit fbchurch.org/sermons for more.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. If you'll quickly just join me, I'd like to open in prayer. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that you created. And we just thank you. As Mary cried out, we cry out, Rabboni, and pray that you would teach us in this time, in those children, the precious children that you have put in our path, Lord. So thank you for your word, because your word is a lamp upon our feet and a light to our path. And we just pray, just please guide us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to talk about counseling children, and to kind of help guide when you're meeting with children, you're really going to focus being every session Christ-centered, scripture-focused, and giving hope. So in Luke 18:16, but Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." So God's word is for everybody, including children, and it's just been the kindness of the Lord to show us and allow us to see the power of his word. To work through a child. And as I was just speaking to someone up front here, I did my track training here at Faith Bible several years ago. They had the on-the-road training from Faith Baptist, who visited from Lafayette, Indiana. And then just much encouragement and more teaching from Pastor Earl and Pastor Brian and Fred Williams and even the women within the counseling ministry. So I feel just very blessed that God put those vessels in my path to give me the grace to stand up here today and share with you what God has shown us for children. So Jesus himself said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And we need to remember that. That is so important. I like to think of it more. I know our title is Counseling Children, but I like to think of it as shepherding. A lot of times when they finally approach you to share scripture with a child, they have been through numerous counselors, many psychologists, and that term can give the parents and even the child just kind of a little, we've already done that, it doesn't work. So I like to call it more shepherding, okay, coming alongside the parent and the child. And usually, you'll meet first with the parents and just kind of ask them those questions. What's the main problem? What brings them here? And I love what Alistair said last night is you really are just coming alongside them with their story. Their stories are heart-wrenching. The mom's eyes are just tear-filled because their heart weeps for their child. And so we want to come alongside them, and just as Jesus wept, we want to show that care and compassion. We want to know what are the parents' expectations, because they've most likely have had secular counseling, and so they're kind of used to that way. So it is important that we share what biblical counseling is, and that we are going to look at life through the lens of the Bible. The parents will complete a PDI. We do have them complete that. And when we meet with the child, there's always the counselor and the parent, or two counselors and the child. We never met alone with the child. We always had another adult there. So we just felt that that was very important. And we did ask that the parents would have the child bring their Bible. And so that first meeting, it really is very emotional. The parents feel hopeless because they have tried a gamut of things. And so we want to even give them hope in that first session. And it's, as I said, I'm just so blessed because God has allowed me to see His Word, the power of His Word, change a child. And it truly, you shall know the truth. The truth will set that child free. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we're going to stand on the foundation of God's Word. I'm going to bring in two scenarios to kind of help show how we progressed through the counseling. Joseph, a very strong-willed child, and at age two, it wasn't just the terrible twos, this was rage. When the parents brought home the new baby, the entire room was ripped apart, including mattresses off the bed. Mom just thought this was the terrible twos. She had no idea that this was above and beyond the terrible twos. So at age six, things were getting worse. They approached church leadership, and leadership felt that they were busy. They didn't have enough time to take this on, and they referred them to a child psychologist. And some of the things that the parents were told to do was, and by age six, there's now a total of five children in the family. They're telling the parents that this child should have their own toys. The child also was doing light therapy, which was like a form of hypnosis where they would watch a blue light and he was told to think happy thoughts. And he said he did feel happy. He liked that. But we all know we can't watch a blue light all day long. Parents attended parenting classes. A lot of it was behavior modification. There was improvement. There was regression. It was a roller coaster, very emotional roller coaster. So by age nine, they heard about biblical counseling and then sought us out. One of the pluses for us is lots of scripture had been poured into this nine-year-old. This nine-year-old was very intelligent. This nine-year-old actually, with us, could sit for an hour and read scripture and discuss scripture with us. So that was nice for us because the next child that I talk about was a much different. This was really hard for the parents because they felt like they have tried everything. And people were telling them, you need to spank harder. You're not spanking hard enough. You're not doing this enough, or you're not doing this right. And so they really are at the end, and it's difficult for them. Joseph's mom actually said to me that she knew if something didn't happen, that they would have to remove him from the home, that his future would be prison or homelessness, violence, and she knew this in her heart, that if something didn't happen, that his future was very bleak. So some of the diagnoses that Joseph was given was the oppositional defiance disorder, bipolar, ADHD, and then anger issues. And I really like how Alistair mentioned this morning that we're going to look at biblical terms, because I remember one day the mom came up to me and she was very excited, and she says, because he's meeting with us but still meeting with psychologists on medications, and so put that aside. You can listen to what they're doing. Just focus on God's word and his faithfulness. So one day she came up to me in church and she said, "We have a diagnosis. We know what this is. It's oppositional defiance disorder." And I just said to her, I said, "Well, for our purposes, we're going to look at terminology from the Bible. What does the Bible say about the behavior, the actions, the words, okay? So try not to get pulled into that, but remember, the parents, they want an answer. They, when they're told that this is the diagnosis, I mean, they grab onto that because they're thinking, okay, now we know what it is, now we know how to treat it. So the treatments that Joseph had were psychiatrists, many psychologists, many counselors, lots of supplements that are very expensive. This is a family with many children. And then medications that carried some side effects that they helped for like about a week because, we know we can calm you down. But again, when they're doing these things, just our part is to focus on God's word and what does God's word say. So there were medications. There was even, because things had escalated so much, there was talk about, evidently, I think Sacred Heart has a camp for kids where they can go one day a week or two or like Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 for several weeks in a row. And so there was talk about that. The other thing in this situation, you have to consider all that mom and dad had been through. And so there were even times that we met with mom one-on-one. The majority of this fell on her. Dad works. He's gone. So for mom, this is difficult. She's dealing with this child 24 hours a day, and then she has, you know, four other children, including a little baby. So consider that. And when you hear their story and all of what has been told, just know that God has a bountiful provision for children, for all of us. So we don't want to forget that. So the next child is Peter. Peter is much different from Joseph. Peter actually has organic issues. There was head trauma. There was fetal alcohol syndrome. He has seizures. So he has to be on medications that carry side effects. Lots of learning challenges with Peter. And then he's also under the care of medical doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists. And just before this session, Alistair said, "We don't have to figure all this out. That's the neat thing. We don't. We just want to go to God's word. What does God say about anger and defiance?" Okay? And God already knows. Jeremiah 32:27, if I can read my writing correctly. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" So God does have the answers. We don't want to forget that. So the other thing is, both of these boys, because of their defiance and anger issues, we were very clear and made it a point, they cannot disrespect God's word. Their Bibles were disrespected, and we did not allow them in counseling. We asked parents to take them away until things were better, and so we would have them read from our Bible. They cannot disrespect God's word. They cannot disrespect the counselors or any adults. So we really, you know, make that a very strict point. Okay, so now, what do we do in the sessions? So every session, open and close with prayer by the counselor. Every session is Christ-centered, Scripture-focused, and give hope. And that's it. All of us can do that. All of us do that on a daily basis with friends. It's not any different with a child. So Scripture guides us, and we have to be cautious, even when we're sharing with an adult. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. So that very first session with the child, we will do a child PDI one-on-one and ask them those questions. What grade are you in? Who's your favorite teacher? What's your favorite subject? Just as Alistair said, come alongside them, show them the love and compassion of Christ. The child wants the same thing. You find out a lot about the child. We were able to learn Joseph loved Legos. Okay, keep that in mind. This PDI, we would keep it up front because we would remind ourselves and try to pull things in. Peter liked maps of all things. He really liked maps, so we really tried to pull those things in. We also want to know, what are they watching on TV? What are they listening to on the radio? What kind of video games are they playing? We found that one of the children were watching a detective program where they use a psychic to solve the case. We want all darkness that we have control of removed. I mean, you know, so be cautious about that, because the world is bombarding us with, on the internet, in the video games that are so violent, and even TV shows. So find out about what they're watching and listening to. And then we ask them that question. If you were to die today and stand before God, why would you say that he should let you into heaven? And one of the things to be cautious of, Joseph was a very intelligent child, and he could give you the definition that he got in his classes, in his Bible studies at church. So just be cautious of that. Because as we've learned, evangelism moves to the top. And how do we do that with a child? Well, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they then call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? That's our job, to show them who God is. Introduce them to Jesus. Lift them up. Make them big and show them truth. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So this is how God directs us, not only with children, but with everybody, to show them who God is. So we're actually using God's word, and then we pray. Pray, pray, pray. You pray for your own wisdom and compassion, discernment, and that their eyes and heart would be open to receive God's word. So that is really important. How do we show in God's word that children are important to God? Well, there are many, many examples. Children that God chose. Moses was still being breastfed, and God was using him as a vessel. Children need to know that. They're important. God had a plan. Samuel was called as soon as he started taking solid food. So these are only a few examples, but there are many stories in the Bible about children that you can bring in. And they get so excited to know that, wow, children really are important to God. Sometimes they feel like they're not important and people forget about them. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." So this is part of us sharing with them how important they are to our Lord. So, in some of the first sessions, again, Christ-centered, Scripture-focused, give hope. I like to use this one in John 6:1-13, where the multitude is coming and Jesus is looking out over the crowd, and they talk about there's 5,000 men, and Jesus asks Andrew and Paul, are we going to feed them? How are we going to feed them? And when you really have the child key in on the verse that, you know, here's Jesus scanning the crowd. Okay, there's 5,000 men. What if they each had a wife? What if each family had 6 kids? How many people is that? Have them do the math. You know, pull them in like that. And they get excited and they're doing the math. And they're like, wow, that's a lot of people. How did Jesus feed all these people? And you have them read the scripture. Peter was a poor reader, so we went back and forth. Joseph could read it. It's, you alter it to the child. And so when they read that a lad's lunch was used to feed all these people, that's exciting to them. They're like, wow. How, you know, Jesus is scanning this crowd. He had a plan. So let them know the importance of children. And then ask those questions. Did Andrew and Philip have faith in Jesus? You ask those heart questions. You want to get to the heart. There were leftovers. How many leftovers were there? Let's go back. Let's look at the scripture. Wow, there were 12 baskets. Do you have leftovers at your house? There's 6 kids in your house. You know, pull them in. Engage them. And then ask them the heart question. Do you want to be known as a boy who gives? So then I really think about that. Wow, you know. And after that first session, just look them in the eye and say, I look forward to meeting with you again and to see what the Lord has to teach us so that we can learn more about him. It's amazing. They get so excited. They look forward to coming. Anyways, I get so excited. Sorry. So, in Proverbs 20:11, it says, even a child makes himself known by his acts, whether his conduct is pure and upright. So, with both Joseph and Peter, we were dealing with a lot of anger, a lot of defiance. Joseph described his anger like a bomb going off. We looked at sinful anger and righteous anger. We went to these passages. We read about being put to death and violence to your father and in any way, I can't think of the right word, but your mom, you know, if you are not dishonoring your mother, a son that's shame and reproach. What does the scripture say about anger? What is it? What is righteous anger? So we go through all of that and you let them know, you know, my concern, we need to look at what does God's truth say about this anger? So we really want to let them know this is what God says about anger. This is the consequences of anger. But again, we don't leave them there. We want to give them hope. We have to give the child hope. We also let them know that anger is a part of our emotion, as we're learning this weekend. Jesus was angry. So we take them to Mark 11:15-17, when Jesus drove out the money changers. Why was Jesus so angry? Who was being dishonored? And so you try to pull that out of them, okay? And as I said, with Joseph, he could sit for an hour. He would listen. He would interact. You might have had to pull it out of him, but he was, for the most part, engaged. And so what our whole goal is to get to the heart. Because in Matthew 15:18-19, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness and slander. And the hope is to keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So another very popular, David and Goliath. This one, we read the whole scripture, the whole 1 Samuel 17, and identified the Goliath. The Goliath is the anger and the defiance. And we would ask questions, you know, how old do you think David was? And what kind of struggles do you think a boy has? And sometimes you might have to help them with that. Like, what about disobedience? What about lying? These kind of things. And then we might ask them, what is sin? What does that mean? We also share with them, sometimes we think we have to be brave, but where did David get his strength from? How did David come up against that Goliath? And the whole Israelite army was shaking in their boots. We share with them, struggles are like Goliath. We must take them to Jesus. From the cross, he's defeated every enemy. But in order to bring this, this David and Goliath more alive, and hands-on, because Peter had a hard time sitting still. Peter was like to do things, like to move. Sometimes you couldn't meet a whole hour. You had to adjust it. And so I have called upon some to help with this, what we did. We went through this passage, actually had a tape measure. I'm not going to measure out 9 feet, but God's training, how to defeat a 9-foot giant. And so the boys would tape that up on the wall at 9 feet. Who has 1 Samuel 17:15, if you could read that? Okay, so the next getting to the heart is we identify in that passage that David is a humble servant. So they would go up and tape that heart on there. Who has 1 Samuel 17:17? Go ahead and read it. Thanks. Yeah.
Jesse said to David, his son, take 3 brothers and heifer of this partridge grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers.
Okay. So the next heart is David is obedient. He's being obedient to his father to take the goods to up to the front lines. Who has 1 Samuel 17:18? Okay, so he's to be a reliable messenger. He's to come back and let dad know how things are going on the front lines, how my brothers are doing. And then who has 1 Samuel 17:20 to 22 to one of you guys?
David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brother.
Okay, so David is courageous. That battle cry, that he wasn't afraid of that at all. He ran to the front lines. And so we see that how courageous David was. And then 1 Samuel 17:26.
David And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?"
So we ask the question, what was David so concerned about? He was concerned about God's glory. Who did David trust in? He was trusting in the Lord. He had learned from defeating the lion and the bear that he could trust the Lord. David put his faith in the Lord that he could defeat, this boy could defeat this 9-foot giant. And so we put these hearts up, and for Peter, we were able to engage him and have him read the scriptures. We would help him with them. And we'd say, so how did David defeat that giant? Did he have like a lot of armor? Did he have an armor bearer in front of him? Did he have a big long spear? And then we read through those for him to think, wow, this is how David defeated the giant. So as you see, we had with Peter, we really had to make it interactive with him. Because sometimes it was difficult for him to sit still. Oops. And so we see in the story of David and Goliath that having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. So we learned from doing the first session with Peter, he loved maps. And we would bring in maps. I mean, if it was Jesus was going from Bethlehem or across the Jordan River or whatever it was, we would pull that in because he really liked maps. And so in order to share the gospel, we made this road and did Romans Road. And we would read through those scriptures. And what was interesting is all of the learning challenges of Peter, in our sessions over time, his reading started to improve. I mean, it was amazing. It was really amazing. And he didn't mind reading as we moved along, where in the first sessions he really didn't want to. And so he started his own journal. And he would just write down scriptures, and he would say, open his journal and say, I've got this one today, and we would read it, and it would be interesting because it would pertain to what we were going to cover that day. So Peter he called it his Bible study, and he loved it. And he would ask his parents, is Bible study today? And are we meeting today? I mean, he really, So Romans Road, we'd pull this in and we would say, you know, sin requires a payment. Will you pay or will you let Jesus pay? We'd let him think about it because we're always trying to bring in the gospel. We after meeting with both children for a while, it was apparent that they weren't believers, and so that we really, each session, tried to bring in the gospel in some way. So we need to remember that faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes through the word of Christ. And when they're sitting there and staring at you blankly, shifting their eyes, looking at whatever, and you think that this isn't working, you have to remember God's word does not come back void. And we just need to keep giving them the scripture because God is working. God is working in this. And sometimes you think, wow, we're doing really good. They're really listening. And then Peter pops out with this story. Did you know on the other side of the equator, when you flush the toilet, the water goes in the opposite direction? And you're like, okay. And you really thought they were paying attention. But he was thinking about the water and the equator. And don't let that be a smokescreen. Stick to God's word, because God's word is working. It is going deep within this child. It's like a double-edged sword. So it's really important to not let that smokescreen kind of make you feel like, oh, this isn't working. And the other thing, if you're feeling like you hit a wall with the child in the session, stop and pray. Just say to the child, you know, we need Jesus' help here. There's nothing wrong with that. So just remember that. So don't be surprised that these children, they'll come with stony hearts. And the items that have been trialed, these are sinful mechanisms. And that's not going to help sin, and it's just going to add layers to their heart. And just like that Leviathan in Job, the rage was just like fire breathing. And when we were reading in Job, trying to lift God up, especially reading in Job 38 and 39, and then we came to Job 41, and with Peter, we had to pick out just sections of scripture in 38 and 39 that we wanted him to see God lifted up. He couldn't read them all. That's okay. But when we got to Job 41, 34, and I can't remember which version it is, but it says, "He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride." And when Joseph read that, he looked it up at us and said, "That's me." And we were like, wow. So scripture is speaking to these children. Scripture identified to him that he had this stony heart like this Leviathan, and that the Leviathan was king over all the children of pride. So then we went and looked at Psalm 74:14. What does God say? "You crushed the heads of the Leviathan and gave it as food to the creatures of the desert." So God crushed the head of that Leviathan in all the other things that were trialed, spears and all the other ways to kill this Leviathan. Man couldn't do it, but God could. And then you give him hope, because in Ezekiel it says, "I'm going to take out the stony heart." Okay? And for Joseph, to give him homework over the week, because he liked Legos, he actually built a Leviathan out of Legos. You know, so he's thinking about this scripture and he's applying that. So, as I said, when you think that maybe things aren't going anywhere, you're not sure this is really working, God's word is working. God is working. Our job is just to share the scripture with the child. But know that these stony hearts, it does make it very challenging. And as Alistair said, either last night or this morning, we can't judge our ministry by them feeling good. So don't base it on that at all. We're just the vessels through which God's word is working. And in Jeremiah 23:29, it says, "Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" So in sharing scripture with both of these boys, there was a period of time that things escalated in their rage and their defiance, to the point that Joseph literally with his foot pushed open a door mom had to protect the other children. He got so violent. There would be times that if he didn't like what was on the table to eat, there would be food flung everywhere. I mean, it escalated. Peter escalated so much that he had to be taken to Sacred Heart to be calmed or whatever they do. Don't let that deter you. Keep ministering God's word, because God's word is powerful. And that, when those things happen, I remember we came together with Joseph's mom and dad, and there was serious talk about removing him out of the house, because now they're thinking about the safety of their children. And we prayed and prayed, and we had to remind ourselves, and we had to remind the parents of our sovereign God. He is faithful. We can trust him, and we can rest in him. And we have to keep moving forward with God's word. And so we did. Because the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is going to pierce to the soul and spirit, deep in their joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So we can't lose sight of what God's word can do, the power of his word, because his word is working. So we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And Joseph, it was about a year that we met. Joseph was set free. He did hear the voice of truth. He asked to be baptized. Now, he still is a strong-willed child. That's just how God made him. And so his parents, and the mom was really good about using this. It's called Instructions in Training in Righteousness. And it's from Doorpost. You can just go online. And they have charts. They have the blessing chart. Mom was very diligent about using this. The if-then chart. So if you're disobedient, you look at the scripture, and then this is what happens. This one, a really good recommendation for parents in general. And if you are meeting with children, for parents to do that during the week, all week long. Peter, we're still meeting with Peter, but Peter has made strides. Peter is less defiant. Peter is less angry. God's word is still working. And it is amazing, and their testimonies are amazing, because they had literally tried many things, and the parents felt that they were at the end of their rope, that there was nothing left, that there was no hope for their child, for their little boy, which is really sad. So now, what about homework for kids? This kind of thing would be have them go home and during the week, each day, read a scripture and, you know, build how to defeat a giant, put it up in your bedroom. And the parents, it depends on the child. We had to just, you know, adjust it between Peter and Joseph. And let me get my other paper here. This other I found this online. This was really neat. And I kind of had steps typed out. And so they would get a sheet of paper, and number one, they'd have to read, God created heaven and earth. powerful. God sets the rules. So they'd fold the paper, and then the next step, disobedience was released into the world. Sin breaks our relationship with God. And so they would go through step by step what these said. They come out with this from all the folding, cut it right up here, and when they open it up, this is what they get, a cross. And we were carrying over David and Goliath. He was humble, he was obedient, he was a servant, just like Jesus was. We would have them do this at home, and they would have to do it with mom and do it with dad, and read the scriptures and walk through the gospel. So that was a homework assignment. Because you have to, sometimes it's challenging to get creative with children. With Joseph, we went through Psalm 23, actually line by line, week by week. We talked about the sheep and how they have, I think, 4 cavities in their stomach. And you could literally store a Snickers bar. If you got hungry late in the middle of the night, you could regurgitate it up and then have it again. I mean, he loved that kind of thing. And he actually even found a stick or something and made a shepherd's staff. Out of Legos, he made a sheepfold. So he really tried to pull in some hands-on things for homework ideas. Peter liked to color, and we were really trying to lift God up. We wanted Peter to see who God was. And so he would get this worksheet. Where does God store the snow? He'd have to look up the scripture and then read it to mom or dad and then color the snow. Who controls the thunder and the hail? He would read those scriptures. Again, he would color the picture. We really, as I said, we're really trying to lift God up. How will they call upon him whom they don't know? So in this one, and I think yours might have the hand, or maybe the next one, but they'll draw their right hand. How many M&Ms can you put in the hollow of your hand? God can hold all the waters. What about the span? The span is from your pinky to your thumb. God measures, marks off the heavens. What can you measure with your span? And so, as you see, it's just using the scriptures to really lift God up. Well, this is the one with the hands. So how can you measure God's love for you? And we have them read the scripture and write their name in Jesus' hands. And memorization for Joseph, because that's kind of something that we do in counseling. We want people to feel truth in their mind. Joseph could memorize all of Psalm 23, and we did that, okay? Now, Peter, we're still working on John 3:16. That's okay. Just read it every week. Just have them keep going over it. It'll come. So you don't have to feel like you have to do a lot. Even if you're reading one scripture with the child, that's okay. That's God's word. It does not come back void. And those are resources. This one, Don't Make Me Count to Three, is good for parents for younger kids, like toddlers and maybe up to first or second grade. Talks about getting to the heart. This one, Age of Opportunity by Paul Tripp. This I even recommended to both of these boys' parents that are, they're 10. I know they're not teens, but they had good recommendations about how to get to the heart, how to take a negative situation and make that an opportunity to point them to the Lord, to point them to the gospel. So these two, really good. So any questions?
Was Peter adopted?
Peter, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have like a source that you go to for like a scope and sequence as far as like where you start, or you just go with the Holy Spirit?
That's a really good question, because it depends on the child and when you get the information, when you sit down with them. And usually the John 6 with Jesus and the whole crowd, the 5,000 people, I like to use that one at the first one to really give them hope and for them to see. And then from there, just, you know, like any other scriptures with children, and that you can relate to their story. And then as you saw, we went through anger, righteous anger, unrighteous anger, just like you would do with an adult. We looked at the stony hearts, but pulling in that Leviathan, those boys were like, wow, you know, because they kind of like that kind of a thing. Does that help?
Yeah, and then was there like any specific websites or books that you went to for like the cool, like the Snickers bar and the sheets?
Yeah, you know.
Where do you like find that?
That was the Lord through prayer, because when we were going through Psalm 23, I'm just like, okay, I don't know anything about sheep. What do I tell them about sheep? And so just started investigating, and even, you know, the ointment and the oil, that the care that the shepherd does to prevent the flies and mosquitoes so that they don't go up their nose and get in their brain. I mean, the boys love that. So just investigate those kind of things that you think a child would be interested in. And they did really like that. So.
I'm trying to relate this to what we heard this morning, mm-hmm. where he's saying, you know, we get angry when what we treasure is being taken away. Were you able to figure out what were they treasuring so much that made them so angry?
Themselves.
They
just wanted what they want.
Themselves.
Mm-hmm. They wanted what they wanted. If Joseph, for example, didn't like what was being given for dinner, the food got flung all over the kitchen. Okay. He didn't like the idea that he didn't have another choice. So it was all about the heart. They were wanting to please themselves,
okay.
and not please God.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we all struggle with that.
Oh, yeah,
Joseph is still going to struggle with that.
Right.
But the difference is he has embraced the Lord and that Jesus died for his sins.
And he could see how
yes.
destructive his path
is. Yes. When God opened his eyes, you know, then, yeah, he knew. And as I said, shortly after, I mean, there was repentance. There was confession. And then shortly after that, I mean, he asked his parents to be baptized. So there was, as I said, God allowed us the privilege to see the transformation, the power of his word to transform this child.
And were his parents using biblical chastisement in the home as a discipline tool?
They were, and they were using this too, this book in training in righteousness, and giving him scripture, and it was getting to the point that he didn't even care anymore. I mean, when he got in one of his rages, he didn't care. He didn't care what got in his path. He was going to move it, and he didn't care about the consequences, because it was getting to that point that he didn't even care about being paddled. I mean, hard. Didn't matter. That's okay. So is that prideful, you know? So I think you had a question.
Yeah, I wondered how you, did you work with the parents at all? Or did you just do the teaching?
No, we did with Joseph. We did work with the parents. And really, really more met with the mom for support and hope. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. This was day after day, week after week. We were with them for a year, but it had already been 9 years that this was going on. And so it really was to come alongside her and give her hope through God's word. Because she was literally at the point, and we had to, you know, tell her, you know, okay, this is like Moses's mother. Moses is being breastfed. She had to put him in the basket and send him to the enemy. So there's our hope, that we can trust in the Lord and he is faithful. And so we did, yes, come alongside her. That was...
I think that especially those of us who are parents, it's really important to realize that, like, different parenting situations, different kids, even though we may not have experienced mm-hmm. what they've gone through, I think especially in adoption cases where there are things like FAS and reactive attachment stuff going on, that it's easy to always siphon through our parenting experience. Well, I had a kid that said no to me once. Like, what you need to do is just spank them harder. Like, that whole concept. But to realize...
Right.
There are things you aren't going to understand, mm-hmm. and the parents do need that encouragement and that hope from Scripture, and not just mm-hmm. like your...
Right.
Because there are things that are unfathomable that happen in the home that it's just hard to wrap your mind around if you haven't lived it.
Right. And that's what I liked about what Alistair said this morning is we don't have to go and investigate all that. We don't have to find out all the details of all that. God's working there. And so that's a really good point.
Uh-huh. What if the child at the point of that they don't believe God? How do we know God's real? How do we know the Bible's true if they're asking those questions?
Right. And we just keep giving them truth. Just keep taking them back to God's word. Well, let's look at what God's truth says. And you use that. This is what God's truth says. God's word is authoritative. And don't let that distract you that they're trying to put up that smoke screen and, you know, pull you away. No, just keep going.
So don't try to answer the authority
of
historical accuracy of Scripture or go down that road. Just
stick
mm-mm. with Scripture and let mm-hmm. Scripture work in mm-hmm.
my
heart and let God do.
Yep. And Scripture will. Yeah. Scripture will work in his heart. And that was one of the things we did with, because you asked in the back, like, how did we alter the sessions? And with Peter, actually, right after doing the John scenario, the next sessions were, we went to the beginning. In the beginning, God created. And then his homework was, and God said, let there be. And he had to interview mom and dad and ask them what was their most favorite animal God created. What was their most favorite fish God created. So you want to keep God created, not us. And so keep pointing them to the Word of God. Yep.
You talked about when you do the PDI asking kids, you know, the question, if you were to die today and stand before God, you know, would he let you into heaven and why? And kids knowing the right answers to give, but it not really matching, you know, mm-hmm. their heart and their lifestyle. Where do you go from there when you can tell that a kid is...
Yeah, and, you know, at first with Joseph, we weren't quite sure because he did know the answer.
Yeah.
He had had a lot of training in the Word. He was baptized, but then, as you said, behaviors did not match. Things started to, escalate way beyond what any of us thought a 10-year-old could do. And every opportunity introduced the gospel in some way, you know, just like the cutout cross. Just try to make it Christ-centered, as I said, Scripture-focused, give hope, and do it in different avenues because, you know, each child, Peter liked maps, Joseph liked Legos, you know, that kind of a thing.
Did you find it in most cases that it would get worse before it got better? In the sense, like, that you could feel the child more?
That's actually what happened with these two. It seemed to be going along okay, and then the scenarios I gave you, it really escalated. And with Joseph to the point that it was, do we need to remove him from the home because this is scary now for the family? But that's what I said. We were able to see God's word work through this and transform this little boy. Because what mom said at that very first meeting was, he was heading to prison or homelessness on the streets and a violent life. That's where he was heading. but the power of God's word transformed this child. That's it. Because they had tried many things. It was only God's word. So he has a powerful testimony. He really does. Yeah. Any other questions? All right, you guys. Well, perfect. We finished right at 11 o'clock. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Faith Bible Church. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us online at fbchurch.org for more sermons, articles, and other resources, as well as information about our ministries.